For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ron McKeown. I've been at this VSAP since the very inception, and I've had various jobs, and personally, I'm trying to retire. So some of you younger guys need to step up and carry the load. But sometimes I speak in a main session, but then sometimes I feel like there's more important people there that can give better perspective than I can, so I came here. And when Tim called me, he said, we got these breakout sessions for you. What are you going to talk about? You know, and I'm already busy with another project, and I really don't have time for this. So I said, I knew I kind of wanted to talk to new people, and that's what last session was really about. And I said, put me down for Fruits of the Spirit. It was just a pop-off thing. And I'm going to apologize to you right now. I am not going to get to all of them. We will go down the list, get as far as we can go. And from there, you'll just need to pick up and continue the study. Before we start, I just want to say a little prayer. Yahweh, our great and gracious Elohim, we come before you as a grateful people, a scattered people who are beginning to learn your truths and to come together to celebrate before you. And Father, we know in your word you have all the information that we need to carry on our lives. And today I want to open the area of the spirit truths and fruit that comes from you. And Father, we just ask you to bless our words, bless the hearing of the ones here, and we pray that as we go through the rest of this festival that our hearts will be lifted toward you, our words will be of a purity that will glorify you, and we just pray that all of our actions are taken in a manner that is respectful to other people and to you. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here, and we just pray that you'll be here in your spirit, opening our hearts, removing that stony heart that we have, and giving us a heart of flesh to not only know your words, but to put your words into action. Father, we praise you and thank you for all things in the name of Yeshua Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
All right. In the book of Galatians, Paul is writing, and you know, if you read Paul's writings, he has a lot of different problems. And the problem we have with Paul is that we have the answers, but we don't fully understand what the question was. So we have to take Paul's words and see how they apply to our life today. Now, before I start, I want to explain to you that the most important relationship in your life is the one that you will have with Yahweh and Yeshua. It should come to be the very center of your life. It should be exalted above a husband, a wife, children, house, job, position in the world. All of that means nothing if you don't have a relationship with the Father. And that relationship has to be worked at. You know, you can't have good friends unless you work at that relationship. He tells us in his word what he expects. And we are to take that and put it into action. We are his body. We are his arms, legs, feet. Every little piece that we do is a part of the bigger picture. We should do things especially for people who could never repay what we do. Do things anonymously. You know, I heard this story at one of the festivals about a young couple had 4 or 5 kids, and they had just moved into the town. The husband was having trouble finding work, and you know, the woman was spending her life down at the washeteria because she had little kids and diapers and all this stuff. And some guy, out of the goodness of his heart, went down to Sears or some store and bought a washer and dryer, had them delivered to her house with the proviso that when she said, "Where these come from," they would not tell who had sent them. They were just a gift from the heart to someone who was in need, who probably could never repay that. Now, if later on in life that family stabilized and they're doing well, then the gift that they received, in essence, they should pass it along to someone they see that is struggling and needs a little help. And it's not big things. It's little bitty things. My wife for years volunteered at a nursing home. What her job was to go in there, and for about an hour and a half, she would just paint these old ladies' fingernails. Now, it didn't matter that their fingernails were bright and shiny. That wasn't the object. But when you're working with somebody's hand and you're painting it, you're holding their hand. And probably you're talking to them. People in a nursing home are hungry for people who will come in and just listen. They've got amazing stories. You look back at a woman that, or a man that is 80, 90 years old. Look at the changes they've seen. When my grandmother was born, she traveled in a covered wagon pulled by oxen. And she lived to see a man put on the moon. You know, and we kind of take that stuff for granted now. Yeah, we put a man on the moon. We got a space station up there, and these shuttles go back and forth. But from her perspective, what a life she lived. Okay. You can leave that door open if you want to. It doesn't matter to me. I can talk louder if they get loud out there. All right. In the book of Galatians, Paul was talking about the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit comes from Yahweh himself. But he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's an important one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, usually when you find a list of things in the Bible, they're listed from most important to least important. But I don't think that that's what happened to this list. I think if Paul had had his choice, they would have all been on the same line. They could have been intermixed, changed around. They're all very important. And it says that it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits, plural. Although the fruit is plural, the Spirit comes to you and all of these fruits are to be in you. It's not a, well, I'll pick this one and this way. It's you're to develop all these things. And we start with love. You know, love's a word that's bandied around our civilization. Oh, I love ice cream. And then you say, I love God. You know, where's the difference there? I love my friends. When Greek, there were, I think, 6 different words that describe love. Well, with our love toward Yahweh, it should be agape love, and that is a total surrender kind of love for the person that you know they are important above all other things. And then we're to love the brethren. That's one thing that sets us apart. And the word there used is philo. It is a friendship thing. And then there's a love that describes marriage. So they're a different kind of love, but when Paul is talking about love from the Spirit, he's talking about our love toward Yahweh. Because Yahweh's already proven his love toward us. You know, if he didn't have great love for us, he wouldn't forgive us when we sin. He would not have sent his son to die so that we would have an opportunity at salvation and eternal life. He made a plan and a resolution because of what happened in the garden. The whole rest of the Bible has been an attempt to get mankind to come back to the garden, to have that face-to-face relationship. That is what he wants. Your relationship with Yahweh is something that's personal, and yet the closer you are to Yahweh, the more that people will see it by your actions. And I don't mean you have to go out and be, you know, the super do-gooder. That's not what this means. It means be aware of opportunities around you, and if at all possible, do something about it. You find somebody in need, if you can help them out, do it. Is it going to make you late for that appointment you're going to? Probably. But, you know, it's all in Yahweh's plan. Probably that wasn't a good appointment for you, so he put this situation in your way. You know, we, all of us work at different jobs, and sometimes we think our jobs are really tough and menial, and they're just hard. And yet, when I read in the scripture about lively stones building into a temple, I understand that because I laid stone. And I know you can be working along and you pick up this rock, and rocks are jagged, and you twist it around and it just won't fit. So you lay it back on the scaffold and you pick up something and you go along, and first thing you know, you pick up that same rock and it just perfectly fills this hole. That's the way lively stones are. Each one of us is important. Each one of us has been delegated as something that Yahweh wants to be close to. Each one of us is being trained for a different job. I don't think we talk enough about, like what Joe Good was talking about yesterday. you know, the end of this nation as we know it. And I know a lot of people in the Christian church, they just, you know, oh, I'm waiting on Messiah to get back, and I'm going to be living in my house, and, you know, it just, the world's going to be wonderful. Well, they're depending on a rapture that is not covered in this Bible. So when that rapture happens, or I'm sorry, when that rapture doesn't happen, they're, you know, you have shaken their faith to the very roots. And they're going to want questions answered. They're going to need some support. You know, their whole world is crumbled, and we are the ones that Yahweh's calling to support those people. If you've gone through a sickness, an illness, a terrible car accident, any number of things that happen in our lives, like my wife had a heart attack in 1999. She can talk to people about that heart attack and how she recovered from it. You know, I can't do that. I've never had a heart attack. My doctors say that I'm on the road there, but I've never experienced a heart attack. So I cannot deal with that. Now, somebody comes along and says, oh man, my knees are killing me, I can relate. We can talk about bad knees, okay? Some of us were told in the kingdom that we'll be over 10 cities. Because we've been faithful in a few things, we'll be given greater responsibility. Some be over 5 cities. Some be over 1 village. Maybe all you've got is you're over 2 tents out here on the field somewhere. But all the talents that you have gathered in this day and time are going to find a use in the kingdom as we rebuild the world. As we show other people how to live in peace and harmony and love, and we are patient with them, and we teach them to be patient with others. It's just all these things. And if you're practicing the fruits of the Spirit, it shows up in what you do. People look at you and they say, you never get impatient. Doesn't anything ever bother you? And you say, sure, I'm bothered by stuff all the time. Well, you never react to it. You know, I've got patience. And it's a trait that doesn't come natural to us. So it's something we have to work on. We start with love toward our Maker, our King. You realize how inconceivable it is that the being that created everything that we can look out into the nighttime sky and see, all the stars and the moons and the planets and 97% of stuff out there that we can't see, but it's there. It's filling the spaces between what we can see. And He knows your name. He wants to be a friend of yours. He wants to bring you back to His garden. He wants to walk with you and talk with you face to face, just like you talk to your friends. That is almost an inconceivable concept. I mean, it'd be like the Queen of England calling you up. She knows you by name. She called you up and says, how you doing? Through our prayers, that's what Yahweh does. We talk to Him about what's going on in our life. And then we read this book. And oftentimes what we've been praying about will just suddenly spring up off the page at us. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's when we get to practice some of that long suffering. My wife is long suffering. She's married to me. But once we've started with that love toward Yahweh, if we love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our being, then you can't help but demonstrate it to others. Because you have this massive amount of love building up in you. And it's, if you're going to grow in love toward Yahweh, to receive that love from Him, you have to start giving it away. The more you give away, the more that flows from Him. It's a constant process. But if you quit giving love to others, pretty soon there's no room for Yahweh's love to come in you. So, you know, those little acts of kindness, going the extra mile, doing those sorts of things, all of those are giving out the same love that you feel from the Creator. And I'd be the first to admit, there are times when I don't feel real close to the Creator. Who's changed? Not our Creator. He's the same as He ever was. What's changed is I have let something interfere with my relationship with Him, and I need to move that out of the way so that that flow continues. And hopefully, I mean, I can't speak for everybody in this room, but I'm sure there are times you feel really close to Yahweh. We've had one feast site especially when you could just feel the presence of Yahweh at our feast site. It was there. It was everywhere. It incorporated itself into the things we did. There were some people healed at that particular feast. You know, and that works on your relationship if you can feel that kind of feeling. But then I've gone to some feasts where, you know, it was fun, the food was good, we had a good time, but the spirit wasn't quite there. It was different. I was at one feast in my early time when the presence of the Spirit, bunch of us were out in this motel, and it had a big patio, and every evening after service, somebody would come out with a guitar and go to strumming, and people are coming around and they're singing, you know, religious songs. And you could just feel the Spirit there. People acted with kindness to one another. And nearly everybody that was staying there was believers. So you knew when you walked out on the patio, even if you didn't know that person, probably they believed like you believed, so y'all could carry on a conversation. And me and my wife decided we didn't like to travel on what the church called the last great day, so we decided we'd spend one more night there. So last great day, everybody else packs up, goes away. We've had a busy day. We take a nap. Got up the next morning especially, and the spirit was gone. You could feel it. It had just departed. And that's a terrible feeling when you've lived for 8 days in the spirit. So you're going to have good feasts. You're going to have better feasts. I've never been to a really bad feast. Some are better than others. I guess that's why I keep coming back to this one. It keeps getting better. And that's our main objective. Once we have love in place, that love is going to demonstrate itself in the joy that we feel. You know, everybody has aches and pains, but I know a lot of people that are hurting really bad that you don't know it because they're just joyful, they're outgoing, they're really happy. And this is something that I don't think comes naturally for most of us, the thought of being joyful. I got two friends that are joyful all the time. You know, they're just always in this up mode. I've never seen them down. And I know they've got the standard set of life problems. And yet, they've got this joy that just wells up in them. I love to be around them. They're bubbly people. And they're bubbly in everything they do. It's not just, you know, a facade they put on when they go to church. Too often, we come into a group of believers and we sit a little straighter. You know, I'm a little more holy than you are. I'm wearing a head cover, or I've got Z's on. You know, and that's not what our attitude should be as we get together. It should be joyful that we have the opportunity to get together with other people who think like we do. And by think like we do doesn't mean that we are yellow pencils that fit neatly into this box. We're more like a bunch of colored pencils that somebody dropped into a jar. We just point all different directions, but it's okay because that jar is Yahweh, and He will use those pencils to do His will. You know, I could start around the room, and I guarantee you we wouldn't get very far till I found somebody that doctrinally I disagreed with. So what? My first question is, our disagreement salvational? If it's not salvational, it doesn't make any difference. You know, we're all in different places. Some of us are branches of trees. Some of us are twigs. And a few of us are just leaves. We're just hanging on out there. But leaves are important. Because when they fall to the ground, they nourish the root. So in effect, they become the trunk and the branches and the twigs. But those of us who are twigs and branches, we need to hold on to those leaves as tight as we can. We need to bring them in. We need to show them love. We need to help them with all the questions that come with trying to follow Hebrew root life. I want you to think back to when you started out. And I can't say for all of you, but I spent 3 years by myself with my Bible and some booklets I got from Worldwide Church of God. Worldwide Church of God had a lot of things wrong with it, but it had a wonderful library of truth. I never belonged to the Worldwide Church, but that's where I got my basis. Unfortunately, as they changed, they took that whole library, loaded it in dump trucks, and hauled it to the city dump because they had given up holy days. They'd given up the feast. They'd given up the clean and unclean food. And they couldn't be sending out literature that was contradictory to what they claimed to believe. But I thank Yahweh for the Worldwide Church and their library and their pamphlets and their booklets and for the plain truth and for a magazine called The Good News. That was what built the foundation for me. And I'm sure each one of you got a story. But what really led me here was, if you think of your entry as a gate, one of the hinges for my gate was that Sabbath was still in effect. Had not been changed except by men. The other hinge of my gate was who Israel is today. Not the nation in the Middle East. I know who they are. But what about the 10 tribes that were taken into captivity? That's us. You know, and there are promise after promise after promise that the tribes are going to be called back together. Now, I don't know what tribe I came out of. I may not have a drop of Hebrew lion blood in me. But I know one thing, when I accepted Yeshua as my Savior, I became a Jew. He's a Jew, I'm a Jew. Now when the city comes down out of the New Jerusalem, he may saddle up to me and say, you know, you need to go through that gate over there, you know, Dan or Naphtali, or I really don't want to go through the gate of Dan. There's a lot of bad publicity about him. But I may be of the tribe of Dan. I don't know. The day will come when we will know what tribe we belong to. We will have a gate to enter the city. And the thing about that city, if you've ever sat down and mathematically worked out the size of that city, it is huge. We cannot even fathom the size of this thing. But the reason it is so huge is it was built for the nation of Israel. So we still got a lot of brothers and sisters out there that we need to draw in. You know, I believe the ark probably had a whole floor on it that wound up being empty. It had been reserved for people who would believe Noah. He preached 120 years, never converted anybody. You talk about a major failure as a preacher, he's it. And yet, it is through him that the religious line carried on. And we are children of Noah, who is a child of Abraham. I'm sorry, Adam, the other A. So, our bloodline is kept intact. The worst thing that came through the flood was they remembered the world as it was. And the same things that caused the world to be destroyed in the very beginning start showing up again. Mankind, you know. We've read scriptures and heard scriptures about I will punish Israel when they don't obey my law. Well, mankind the same way. Our nation is going to be destroyed because we do not have love and caring. We do not show other people that Yahweh is the only God. You know, there are not many paths to God. There's one path. So, are we right and they wrong? You know, the rest of my family's in the Baptist church. I'm at least glad they're going to a church and hearing something out of this book. I got a son at home, he does not go to church. And when we start talking about the Bible, he's out the door. He doesn't want to face it. You're going to run into people like that. You're going to deal with people and they're just going to exasperate you. But that's where you practice that long suffering. Patience, long suffering. But you care about that person. You know, I want you to go to the New Jerusalem for a minute. You're inside it. You've got your space, whatever that may be. And somebody comes and knocks on your door. And it's somebody that you just vaguely remember. You know, you met them somewhere in the way distant past. And they say, I want to thank you because you're the one that started to open my eyes to make me see things. You're the one that encouraged me. You're the one that took me under your wing. I love festivals because the first one I ever went to, there was a couple that we knew from Waco, but they literally just took us under their wing. They had been going to this feast site for 10 years. I met people I would have never met otherwise. You know, I became friends with most of them. But they cared. You know, they could have just left me standing in the middle of the floor. And when church service is over, you go back to your little room and you wonder what's happening. Because that church did not encourage potlucks, big get-togethers where the people mix. I hate that we've grown as large as we have, because we used to have small enough groups that we could have a potluck. We could all sit down and we could spend hours talking. When we started out, we'd have these potlucks, and about the time that everybody was eating good, somebody would bring a boombox and they'd turn it on and turn it up real loud. And all of a sudden people are trying to dance while other people are trying to eat. So we finally banned the boombox. If you want to dance, go up to the big hall, plenty of room. But we want to sit here and get to know one another. And that takes time and it takes commitment. You know, time's one of the most precious things we have because it slips away from us. You know, have you ever looked up at the end of the day and say, where did today go? I didn't get done near what I set out to do this morning. You know, and we can't bring it back. I mean, we can't take time and bank it. Once it's gone, it's in Yahweh's hands. Now, maybe he's keeping the video and we'll get to relive this someday and we can see what we could have done better. But we're to be joyful and we're to be patient with others. We're to practice kindness. You know, there's a thing about random acts of kindness. And a random act of kindness can be as simple as the gentleman in the wheelchair. Somebody helped the door so he could come through it. Well, I've been in a wheelchair some. And if you're trying to hold the door open and you're trying to wheel yourself through, it's not a good situation. So that's an act of kindness. You know, somebody drops their books and you help them pick them up. That is a random act of kindness. Think about the kindness that Yahweh shows to you every day. Think of his patience and kindness. You know, if you go through a day and you haven't chopped off a foot or an arm or a leg, that's an act of kindness. You have made it through that day pretty much unscathed, and you've only done it through the kindness of Yahweh. There are people hurt every day, badly hurt, and you're not one of them. You know, I've heard tell of people who are in these horrific automobile accidents. Their car is just crushed like a soda water can. And yet, they are able just to come out without a scratch. That's Yahweh's kindness and care. He is watching over you. You know, Donna and I pray when we're fixing to go on one of our trips, just put your angels around my car as we travel. What better protection? I mean, that's better than Allstate. So, but Yahweh wants to protect you. But he's not necessarily going to do these things automatically. I mean, dealing with Yahweh is not like buying a bus ticket and you go down and you get on the bus and your ticket is punched all the way to heaven. It's not like that. There are going to be 1,000 stops along the way where you have to get off the bus. And you need to help somebody else. But you're going to get back on that bus. You're still on the journey. But you need to be kind to others. A kind word turns away a wrathful person. Somebody is just blowing up angry. Just smile at them. You know, be kind to them. I'm sorry you're going through this. Whatever it is. You know, sometimes that's all a person needs to begin to get a perspective on their life. I had a man work for me that he would go from being a very placid young fella to being raging mad like that. And it all centered around something that had happened in his life 20 years ago. But he would get thinking and something would trigger a thought that carried him back there, and this anger boiled out of him. And I would talk to him, tell him he needed to settle down, needed to get a grip on where he was. But what he really needed was Yahweh in his life to take that anger away. It was a situation he couldn't possibly change. But he let that anger fester. And anger is like a cancer. If you don't handle it and don't turn it over to Yahweh, it will fester in you. And it consumes all your rational thoughts at times. You know? And then you will begin to blame Yahweh for the way your life's going. When it's not Yahweh at all, it is us. You know, we need to clear our life. It's an amazing thing at atonement every year. You know, I've been in this walk about 25 years, Sabbath walk and beyond. And every atonement, you know, you're supposed to examine yourself. So I'm thinking about sins that I have confessed that have been forgiven, but invariably, there is something out of my past, and it bubbled right up to the top. It's something I have not thought about in 40 years, but it bubbles up right there. It needs to be repented of. And through that repentance, Yahweh gives you forgiveness. He shows his love to you. He shows his patience with you. That it's taken you 40 years to remember what you did. So we are all to practice these gifts that come to us. These gifts are interrelated. It's not like you can say, well, I'm going to practice kindness. Because in the practice of kindness, you're actually showing love for somebody else. And if they're cantankerous, you may be showing patience. But then the next gift that's mentioned is goodness. You know, goodness. How do we give that to other people? Well, we know that Yahweh's good. We know he's been good to us. So we need to share that. And that comes around to doing good works that you don't ever expect to receive anything back for. And it involves just, you know, taking the time to be good to somebody, to do good, to bake the cookies, to take them over. You know, the single mothers, I love them because they have taken all the responsibility. The father can't, won't, and don't take care of the child. That mother, she's got to work to support the child. She got to raise that child. And one of the best things you could do, an act of goodness toward a mother, single mother, is just go to her one day and say, you know, this coming Friday, I know you're off work. I'm going to come over to your house and I'm going to take care of your kid. And I want you to go get your hair done. I want you to just go uptown and watch a movie. Just go walk through the mall. You know, it's her time. and she's not dragging two kids with her. That's an act of goodness. Like I said, I'm not going to get through with this, but there is faithfulness and gentleness. All of these things are wound up in Yahweh. This is His character. And since we are His children, He wants this to be our character. And I don't, you know, if you spend your whole life just learning about this one little verse, I think it would be a lifetime ambition to just fully understand the fruit of the Spirit. And they're not just something you can put on the shelf, you know. Oh, yeah, kindness. I got that because it can't stay on the shelf. Kindness is not kindness up there. Kindness is only kindness when you hand it to somebody else. You know, Yah's been good to us. Yah's faithful. Yah is gentle. You know, if I'd have been Yah in the Garden of Eden, I'd have created Bruce and Florence, and I'd have brought them in and say, this is Adam and Eve. They sinned. Whap! They're gone. Now, I'm going to start with you. But that would have been a fear situation, and Yah doesn't want us to fear Him in being afraid. He wants us to fear Him in awe and reverence of who He is, what His character is, all of those things. And it's a difficult situation for us to try to imbibe all these things at one time. So let's not do that. Let's work on one or two of these things at a time. And once you've got two things working, work on a third one. God is patient. Be patient with ourselves. I appreciate y'all coming in. I know you could have been somewhere probably more interesting, but I appreciate y'all taking the time to come out.
4 minutes.
Oh, well, I got 4 minutes for questions. I try not to do that. I try to run all my time out. All right, let's have a question. Kenneth?
How's the Father glorified?
How is He glorified? I think He's glorified in the actions we take so that people can see Him in our lives as we go through our daily life. You know, we live in a secular world, but we're to be light and salt. We are a preservative power, but we're also an enlightening power. So we need to not be afraid of our faith, not be afraid to talk about it, not be afraid to show it. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is about. Well, too often we go to a congregational meeting. It's kind of like going on a date, you know. We're all bright and shiny, we're clean, and we sit there and we really don't get to the heart of what the person next to us may be having trouble with. You know, we've all got troubles, but we're real lax to tell anybody else about them. You know, you run into 100 people at this meeting this afternoon, you say, how you doing? I'm going to tell you, you do not care how they're doing, because they're going to say, I'm doing fine, and you're going to go, check mark, okay, next person. If you really care about them, you know, ask a question more like, what's happening in your life? You know, and sometimes tears will just start to roll because nobody's ever asked them that question. They got so much confusion going on in their life. New people come to our feast, they don't have a clue what's going on. and nobody takes them under the wing, you know, and they go home and say, what happened? You know, so we have to be careful, you know, ask the real questions. You know, we just get in the habit, how are you? I'm fine. That's the end of the conversation. So let's try to involve more. As you do that, your gifts will grow. May Yahweh bless and keep each one of you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Give you the strength and the power to be light and salt everywhere you are. And may he help us to get to know one another better so that we can share some of our deeper hurts and emotions with one another. Because there's somebody who has gone through the same thing you're going through. They have been there. They've done that. They can help you, but they have to know what the problem is. I mean, we don't carry around signs that say, hey, my knees are terrible, although we probably should. But these are things that grow out of that fruit of the Spirit. Learning to care for one another. We're brothers, we're sisters, we're family. And we should care enough about one another to kind of know what's going on in their life. You know, are their kids sick? Having marital problems? She was told by a doctor before she gets here that she's got some disease. When I say she or he, it's a connective they, us. You know, all of us go through these things. And if we've been through it, then we can share our experience. If we're going through it, it's nice to have somebody tell you, this is not the end of your world. You're going to get through this. And everything will be okay. Because Yahweh's our Father, he wants good gifts for us. Okay, I have gone over my time limit. I thank each one of you for being here. Hope you have a great lunch. And I'll see you up the hall after a while.